This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Big tech, election integrity, and freedom of choice over vaccinations. These are some of the issues Sarasota Senator and State Republican Party Chair Joe Gruters has his name attached to this year. I spoke to Gruters on the eve of the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, at the Orange County Convention Center. It runs Thursday through the weekend. Well, Senator Gruters, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on today.
I wanted to start by asking you about the Conservative Political Action Conference. What does it mean for Florida to host CPAC this year?
Well, listen, it's more exciting stuff for Florida. Obviously, we deliver big for the president, and Republicans won up and down the ballot. This is a Republican state. We increased our margin threefold for the president this past cycle. We won two new congressional seats, one state Senate seat, five state House seats. We crushed the Democrats on the ground. We crushed them in voter registration, and we crushed them in turnout. And this is just a continuation, of course, the president after the election coming back home to his home state, where we're obviously welcoming him. And then to have CPAC kick this political season off right here in Orlando in our backyard, it's exciting because what we're going to do is we're going to start the unification process of bringing together the entire party so we could be united in our efforts to win in the 2022 cycle, because that's what it's all about. Listen, elections have consequences. The Democrats control everything, and it requires us to come together as a party to unite so we can offset the gains that these guys have recently made, because you could the policies that they're pushing, the executive actions that the President Biden has already undertaken, it's completely undermines the system and supports the swamp. And we're going to have to go up there and drain it again in 2022.
Well, let me ask about the Republican Party. I mean, do you feel like there are some fractures that you have to try and fix? And I'm wondering if you're kind of seeing a bit of a difference between the Republican Party in general nationwide and the Florida Republicans, because as you pointed out, Republicans in the state of Florida did pretty well in 2020.
Yeah, Florida is the gold standard, not only for elections, but for party unity moving forward. And yeah, there are some fractions out there within the base and within the party organization and structure. And that's what we have to do as a party is be the bridge to link everybody back up, and because we need a united approach as we head into that 2022 cycle. It's not going to be easy. Some of the races are going to be very difficult, and obviously with Democrats controlling the executive branch in both the Senate and the House, they have the advantage, and they're going to have a financial advantage as well. And so we need to be together. I think the CPAC event here in Orlando is the first step of bringing different people together. And listen, I think that we're going to be organized. I think Ronna McDaniel is going to do a great job. I think we're doing everything we need to do as a party, because we're going to go back to the basics. And we did well in the 2022 cycle, but we're going to in the 2020 cycle, but we're going to have to do a lot better to make sure we take back at least either the House or the Senate or both.
I wanted to ask too a little bit about election integrity. You're part of that Republican Party committee. What are you looking for exactly? Like, what is your role going to be with that?
Well, listen, it's I'm the newly elected chairman of the Republican Party's election integrity committee for the country. And listen, the first and foremost, we got to figure out what the problems were in 2020. What happened? Why did it happen? We have to then go out and figure out how we can move forward in a way where we can establish, you know, credibility into the system. There's a lot of people that believe that there was fraud in the system, and
I have to point out that most elections officials up and down the country have said it was actually a pretty smoothly run election. I mean, down to some of the former officials at the federal level who kind of oversaw the security, you know, the cybersecurity aspects of the election, elections officials in states that the president both won and lost have said it was a pretty smoothly run election. And if you look at what happened here in Florida, no major problems to report. So, I mean, are there really issues?
We got it right in Florida. Florida is no question. We're the gold standard, and we should be the model for everybody to follow. Mm-hmm. We got all of our votes. And listen, it wasn't done without some pain over the years. But since 2020, the election versus Bush versus Gore, that first election controversy here in Florida, which made us somewhat the laughingstock or the hanging chads, sure. And there was a couple of other close races that made our legislative process, we went and tightened the screws. And then, of course, when Governor Ron DeSantis came in office, he replaced the incompetent the supervisors. And so you have 67 independently elected supervisor elections here in Florida in a state with 21.5 million people. As diverse as we are, with all these different Republicans and Democrats running their own independent shops, they got the job done and they did it right. And the fact that there is so much uncertainty at the national level and people having to questioning the integrity of the system, that's a problem within itself. People have no problem questioning the integrity of the Florida election. Everybody says it went well. It did go well. Why can't we have those same assurances nationwide so that we can eliminate any of the uncertainty that does exist? And we could do that with simple solutions. Start counting the absentee ballots way ahead of time, having like here in Florida, the 14 days of early voting. My whole goal is to make it as easy as possible to vote, but as hard as possible to cheat. We can't, nobody should accept on the right or the left anything other than a system like we have here in Florida, because we want the credibility in the system. We want a safe and secure election, and we want everybody to have the full faith and confidence in an election gone right. And that will eliminate any type of shenanigans or uncertainty that exists. And as a country, we'll all be much better off. And so that's the goal that I've set. 2022 is going to be the targeted date. Where there's obviously going to be certain states that are more important than others as we look at the passing, some type of model type legislation. But it's with the sole purpose of bringing back the credibility that we need, because at the end of the day, the integrity in the system is what we need, and voters and our citizens need to have the confidence that these elections are run correctly and smoothly. And just like what you said, Florida did it right, and so right. Florida should be the model for the rest of the country.
Can't some of the blame be laid for the questions over the election be laid at the feet of the former President Donald Trump, who was raising questions about states which he lost? I mean, isn't that part of the problem there?
There were issues in the numerous states that have never come out to the public fully because people don't want to look at them. All the court cases that were lost were due to a technicality, not because of the facts of the case were reviewed. And everything goes back to credibility. And for me, my role in the Election Integrity Committee is to look forward. Listen, we're not changing what happened in November. We can change the people's perceptions of what will happen in the 2022 cycle. And like I said, Florida's diverse. We're massive, 21.5 million. We got it right. Nobody's complaining. Democrats and Republicans all came together. There's no reason why we can't have the similar type system across the country, specifically in the states where we have Republicans in control. And this is not about this is not about anything other than making sure that everybody who has a vote votes, and making it as easy as possible to vote, hard as possible to cheat. That's the line. And my focus and efforts over the next couple of months, as we bring all the Republican groups together to coordinate and help put together the plan, is to ensure exactly that.
Nobody's complaining, that I've heard at least, about how Florida's elections are run, but there are some bills in the offing which may, take a different look at how elections are run, specifically one filed by Senator Dennis Baxley in North Central Florida, which kind of looks at voting by mail. I mean, if things were run so smoothly in Florida, is there a need for legislation like that? Is that kind of superfluous?
Just like we've continuing to, we've tightened the screws over the last 20 years to make the election election process better and better in Florida, we could always do better. And what some of the proposals that the governor has come out with recently is, think of how secure voting is in person. You go show your ID, you go vote, everything's protected. There's all these things that are prohibited from being placed in the voting cycle. That's somewhat we're going to do in terms of ballot harvesting, eliminating the non-observed drop boxes. Here in Sarasota, my community, they only have them out from 9 to 5 and they're always manned. But the ballot harvesting is a bad idea. Having outside groups come in to certain areas and pay for electioneering type things, that's a bad idea. We don't want the corporate special interests coming into any area and helping by paying for electioneering efforts. That's a bad idea, and I'm glad the governor's willing to get rid of that. We have such a transient community overall. It does make sense that, listen, I'm all for, I want to make it as easy as possible to vote. So by all means, vote absentee, vote early. I'm even in favor of having mega early voting sites that are open, you know, for 30 days in a couple spots around the community. So everybody has even more opportunities if that was the case. But it does make
sense. And we saw some of that in the lead up to 2020, right? Yeah. I mean, especially here in Orlando, I'm thinking the Amway Center was one of those sites.
Yeah, it was those type of places are fantastic. What we don't want, though, is you don't want people who are moving all the time to be getting sent absentee ballots 3-4 years after they requested it. And I think the idea is every time you want an absentee ballot, you call, and if you say you want it for the entire cycle, so which could be 3, 4, 5 elections, you should be able to get that done. But you should not be able to request absentee ballots, you know, 3-4 years away, because the people move all the time, and we need to make sure we have an accurate count of who our voters are, where they live, because we have to make sure everybody gets the right ballot and everything is done accurately. This is all about bringing credibility to the overall system and making sure that we have the full faith and confidence of the people that we represent.
I wanted to just ask a couple of questions, if I could, about the legislative session, which is just around the corner. One of the bills you're co-sponsoring this year does take aim at big tech firms, specifically would stop state and local government doing business with those firms. I'm wondering, I mean, where does that issue sit for you in the level of importance? Would you say it's maybe more important than, say, getting, you know, COVID-19 relief up and running and getting the economy firing again on all cylinders?
Yeah, and I appreciate that question. The most important issue is obviously the budget, dealing with the ramifications of COVID-19, making sure people can cope and providing whatever relief we can to the families and helping businesses as they continue to struggle to try to make it, making our state the number one place to do business so we could get the best, most high-paying jobs we possibly can for Florida's families. Because I think when you are able to have a high-paying job, you're a much better provider. And when you have better providers, overall families are happier and do better. But yes, when it comes to I believe that some of these tech companies act as a public square. When you have hundreds of millions of subscribers talking, that's the same thing to me in my eyes as standing on a street corner. And I think that the First Amendment is important. I think we need to protect the freedom of speech, even sometimes when it's speech that you don't agree with. And so, yes, they shouldn't receive a pass all the time. And also, in terms of data privacy issues, to me, it's important that as individuals, we have the ability to understand and know what companies have on us and to be able to allow them to either sell that data or not. But we should be able to understand what they have on each individual, and you decide whether or not they should be able to sell it to outside groups, because data is being bought and sold all the time, and they have a lot of information on each of us, and people would be shocked at what they have on your listeners at home.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you real quick, too, if I could, about vaccinations. I mean, you've been fairly outspoken about the idea of people being given the freedom to choose whether to get vaccinated or not. I'm wondering, though, if and when, you know, vaccine becomes available, are you going to be lining up to get a shot?
Well, I'm 43 years old, so I don't think I'm on any list anytime soon. I want everybody that's eligible to go out there and get a vaccine. I think it's important that we have as many people as possible to get vaccinated. But I've talked to numerous people who have had adverse reactions to vaccines and who have had, for whatever reason, don't want to take the vaccine. And for those people, you know, my goal and what my bill did is I want to be able to prevent discrimination on those who decide not to have the vaccine in terms of their everyday life and whether it be going to the shopping center or going to a restaurant. I'm not a favor of having people show any type of medical ID or papers to do anything. You know, over the years, there's been numerous discussions on whether or not you should have to show driver's license for different things, getting pulled over, everything you could possibly imagine. And
what about voting?
Certainly we should have, not only do I think we should have voter ID, I think we should take it and potentially even do fingerprints, because it's so important. But certainly I don't want anybody to be denied basic services as a result of their preference to get this COVID-19. Now, I encourage everybody to get it. I think they should get it. I'm fully in favor of, and I've advocated for additional vaccines and locations in my community, which the governor has granted and has come down a couple of times, and we're very fortunate and grateful. We have a lot of seniors. But that being said, you shouldn't be unfairly punished if you decide for whatever reason, including your own individual health issues as a result of other adverse reactions, you should have some protection.
Senator Joe Gruters, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks so much.
Up next, Democratic State Representative Anna Eskamani is also outspoken on elections, but takes a very different tack from Senator Gruters and his colleagues in the Republican Party. We'll talk to the Orlando area lawmaker about that and other issues, including a push to build a ground game for Democratic candidates in upcoming elections.